Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Expediting the process of Undi 18 is among the reforms agreed in the Transformation and Political Stability MOU, which was inked yesterday between Prime Minister Ismail Sabri Yaakob and the Pakatan Harapan leadership. Now, this promise to implement Undi 18 comes just days after a ruling by the Kuching High Court, which found the delay to be, quote, illegal and irrational, end quote. The implementation of Undi 18 is expected to allow some 5.8 million youth in Malaysia to vote. Now, will this new youth bloc bring a seismic shift in the Malaysian political landscape? Kira Yusri is the co-founder of Undi 18. She joins us on the show now. Kira, good evening. Congratulations to you and the team at Undi 18 for that recent ruling of the Kuching High Court. Now, can I begin our conversation tonight, Kira, getting you to explain to us what you understand to be the gaps in terms of readiness to implement Undi 18 and automatic voter registration by the deadline of year end?
Yeah, so I think the first and foremost is the challenge that the assumption that it has to be implemented together, right? And that was the reason that they used against implementing it sooner before this. And they cited that the fact they could not implement automatic voter registration. So the main gap is really actually making AVR a reality, because AVR is really not easy to do. There's a lot of technology gaps and also data collection gaps. I assume EC is struggling to match it up, right? And also, there's also, you know, cross-agency, cross-ministry collaboration that needs to happen here. However, it shouldn't be an excuse to not implement Undi 18, because our reasoning is that you can actually allow young people to first register to vote using the existing system that SPR has, because all it needs from the government to do so is to just allow young people to register. That is the only gap that's preventing young people from registering and becoming voters right now.
Yeah, so Kira, in fact, there was, I think the reading was that this was a political decision on the part of the government to slow down this process of realizing Undi 18. Now, now that it's also been telegraphed in the MOU, do you expect there to be any political roadblocks, any possibility of reversals? I mean, trust in government being at an all-time low at the moment?
Yeah, I think Undi 18 is a very sensitive reform to be bandied around like that at the moment, right? Because there's about 1.2 million young people waiting to be registered to vote at the moment, and there's a lot of people looking at the government to give them their right to vote. I think while this year there's been seemingly a few flip-flops from the executive, right, the cabinet especially, and the prime minister in regards to implementing Undi 18, we have seen politicians on both sides actively advocating for it. For instance, YB Rizal Marikan, who was the previous youth minister, YB KJ as well, both from the UMNO bloc, which is until now still the government bloc. So I have faith that the discussion on Undi 18 reform and the pressure will still continue. It's a matter of whether the prime minister will be able to implement it before the year ends, I think, which is within the High Court's timeline. Yeah,
so coming back to the High Court, and I'm just wondering what exactly needs to be done to satisfy the court's ruling. What needs to be accomplished by the deadline of year end, Kira?
Yeah, so the High Court ruling in particular insists that the Section 3 it must be implemented in entirety, which includes automatic voter registration. And in fact, the government has already promised to implement this by July this year. So, you know, during the hearing, the process, the government did not put forward a good argument on why it has been delayed for so long, when consistently before this, EC and the government... is rather flimsy, and it's not something the High Court accepted, which is why they ruled, to implement it by end of the year. However, you know, unless the government is willing to be transparent on what the challenges are, it's very hard for people to not assume that it's a political move to delay Undi 18 and automatic voter registration. So I think that's the question that we have to ask EC and the government, that, you know, now that, you know, clear-cut the court is asking you to implement it, what other excuses can you actually provide when you say you can't implement it?
Kira, so now we let's assume that this goes through and, you know, whatever hitches are resolved. When we talk about a youth block, are we correct to talk about it as a block? And does anybody have this block in their pocket?
Yeah. So I disagree with calling it. I get it. Calling it a youth block based on our age makes sense. But I think politicians and, more importantly, people need to understand that young people don't vote unblock. Right, we don't vote as a monolith. We are made up of diverse demographics. We have rural youth, urban poor. We also have youth, who are working at a young age or who are pursuing tertiary education. So I think it's very demeaning to think that, you know, all young people think the same way, and it's a matter. It's only a difference in age, which means that, however, we have aspirations for our economy, employment rates, education, and, you know, politicians should take into these concerns accordingly, as they would voters in any other age group.
Can I ask you, Kira, it's not just about, being able to vote. It's also about being able to stand, right? And as I understand it, there are still six states that have yet to amend their constitution to allow for Undi 18 changes. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about what's next on that front? Are you working with the states?
So we have been in talks with certain ADUNs as well as state EXCO committees to push forward a campaign called Calon 18, right? I think most recently, Penang have lowered amended their state constitution to allow young people to contest at the state level. But I need to, I think, also point out that according to our legal legal opinion, the federal constitution supersedes everything else. So I think, you know, theoretically, young people should still be able to contest at a state level. But I think just to align with the federal constitution, states should begin to move to amend their state constitution to reflect the changes in the federal constitution as well. Because right now, at the MP level, young people can already run as candidates, just that they can't vote for themselves, which is the greatest irony, in my opinion. But the documents, you know, these are important documents that reflect, that help govern our society, both at the federal and state level, so the state government should move towards amending it as soon as possible. Yeah.
Kira, I want to ask you your opinion about where do you think the youth vote is going to go if the existing choices are adequate for this, for the various groups and segments of youth, and who's going to be, who do you think thus far has been really clever and creative at, tapping into this particular voter bank?
I think that's a very sneaky question. I think any politician that is able to tap onto social media effectively will be able to capture young people's attention very quickly. And I think this tends to be politicians on the younger age, I think below 40 years old, like Sadiq, YB, Yi Wei, these are just few of the politicians who are actively using social media. I think Sheri Hamdan recently opened a TikTok account just to share his opinions about the policies that he believes in. So I think young people primarily, we use social media intensely to make our voices heard and to also consume information. If politicians do not know how to leverage this platform and still only rely traditional media only to get their word out, it's going to be very difficult to ensure two-way communication, right? Because I think, especially people my generation, we don't just appreciate consuming information. We want to speak up. We want to respond. We want to reply. And I think social media gives us that space to do so. So if any politicians don't know how to leverage that, I think that's a waste of an opportunity to engage there, especially if their area has a lot of young voters.
All right, Kira, always a pleasure speaking with you. That was Kira Yusri of Undi 18. We're going to take a quick break here and consider this, but we will be back with more. Stay tuned.
Lebih 90% daripada keseluruhan kes positif COVID-19 adalah terdiri daripada mereka yang tiada sejarah vaksinasi.
RMK-12 yang akan dibentangkan pada 27 September di Dewan Rakyat akan melakukan pemulihan dan pembangunan semula ekonomi Malaysia.
Kadar vaksinasi yang masih rendah di beberapa negeri menjadi faktor mengapa perbandingan berkenaan tidak wajar dilakukan.
Nak atau tidak, hanya vaksin salah satu cara untuk sekolah boleh dibuka.
Keunggulan Anugerah On Demand. Wear your good suit.
This is my good suit.
How did it end?
Drama berseri yang mendapat pencalonan. Cerita luar jangkaan.
Story, what story?
The truth.
Pelakon hebat yang menghidupkan watak.
Very much like I'm a suspect.
Bersedia.
In Lovecraft Country.
Pengembaraan bermula di sini.
It looks spectacular.
Pencalonan anugerah Emmy ke-73 dengan box set on demand. Stream di Ultravox dan aplikasi Astro Go.
Pentas terus hangat.
All together now.
Let's go!
Pesanan yang sengit.
Kedua-duanya memilih lagu yang sesuai, jadi itu merupakan masalah bagi saya.
Tugasan menjabar buat juri.
Sangat terpesona.
Siapakah yang akan terus layak ke final? All Together Now Malaysia. Setiap Ahad, 9 malam di Astro Ria dan Astro Go.
Selangor Darul Ehsan, the country's leading GDP contributor, with a workforce of over 3.6 million, is primed to become ASEAN's gateway for business. How is Invest Selangor playing its role in contributing to this? From industrial parks to aerospace, we will touch on digitalization and e-commerce, and how companies are braving through these challenging times. It's all going to be right here on Investment Insider Season 2, only on Astro One.
Hi, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutan. However, if you've just joined us on the show tonight, we're discussing the implementation of Undi 18, which is one of the promised reforms under the Transformation and Political Stability MOU. And it also comes after a recent ruling by the Kuching High Court. Joining us on the show now is Mahira Marzuki of Undi Sabah, which is a campaign to empower Sabahan youths through the process of democracy. Mahira, pleasure to have you on the show tonight. Now, are Sabahan youth aware of the recent development, both the court case and what's happening with the MOU to implement Undi 18? Are they enthusiastic about the current political choices, or do you think that they might be looking for something more, something different?
I think I can't speak for all Sabahan youth in general, but I definitely, like my own peers, my circle of friends, or even the young campaigners in Undi Sabah as well, like they are super, super excited that they are able to participate in voting and democracy as a whole. So yeah, I would say that they're pretty enthusiastic. Obviously, there are more reforms that we would want to push, but the Undi 18 bill, it's definitely, the court case is a start, yeah.
Mahira, you know, Sabah is one of the poorest states in the Federation. It has a large rural population. We understand there's quite a bit of material deprivation in rural Sabah. How does that impact either the ability to mobilize young to participate in the democratic process, or even their agenda and values? Can you give us a picture of what rural Sabah is like in responding to these changes?
Okay, so I don't speak for all Sabahan youth, but it has been a recurring theme in many campaigns, as well as even in the last election. Here in Undi Sabah, we made a Sabah Youth Manifesto, and a lot needs to be done. Primarily, Sabahan youth would want better connectivity. And when I say this, connectivity, it means like internet, roads, and proper public transportation, because connectivity builds society. It helps to generate income, better access to information, etc. Basically, better infrastructure, especially when it comes to internet connection in their area. For instance, students in schools and uni, especially in rural areas, find it like extremely difficult to access internet. And this in turn affects their ability to learn and study, especially during the pandemic. Like, imagine going through a national exam in your SPM or STPM that will determine the course of your life journey, and it's made worse by something that's beyond your control. So those are the things that probably want the government to address, those inequalities and inequities that these students feel. I think that's very important to address, because the education sector, not just the quality but infrastructure, is severely affected, especially in some places where the condition is bad in the first place. But secondly, I think in relation to what you said also, things like employment issue is something that not only people within rural areas, but even in city, like in urban areas in Sabah, struggle with. We have a lot of capable fresh graduates, but the job opportunities are very limited, and they need to work in West Malaysia, for instance. The minimum wage is very low in Sabah, and on top of that, the cost of living is extremely high, like it's as similar as living in KL, but with lower wage and limited jobs, and there's a lot of talent mismatch. So you definitely need, say, a car to go to work, because public transportation takes so much of your time, and you can't afford to lose that. So it's difficult to connect and for economy to improve as well when infrastructure is this poor and you don't have proper public transportation for you to connect to places or to receive customers to generate income. But those are one of the few things, yeah.
Right. Mahira, just to pick up on a couple of things that you said. So, you know, the issues of inequalities, inequities in connectivity and in job opportunities, that's longstanding in Sabah. But do you think now things might change, that political leaders might need to pay attention to the realities of young Sabahans, you know, rather than dismiss them or not pay attention to what they're going through? Do you think things might change now that they are going to be a significant voter bank?
Yes. So I believe for the current young generation, I just want to preface that it's definitely easier to mobilize in our generation where the world is extremely connected. And I feel like politicians may be able to see this wave. For instance, in the Lawan process, or even around the world, the Arab Spring, the Black Lives Matter movement in the U.S. So we live in a world where it's extremely connected, and it's very easy for us to relate with struggles of other people and stand in solidarity with them. So on a balance, I think mobilization works better for our generation. Obviously, there are challenges to it, but it is something that I believe that politicians are starting to take like notice of, and they have to listen to their voter base. If not, like, maybe the shift won't be instantaneous, but we already see the spark of that movement existing right now. So that's
yeah. I mean, Mahira, do you ever get asked how any of this is going to change the life of the individual? Right? If someone's going to say, well, I mean, it's going to be the same bunch of politicians, the same warlords, the same traditional politicians whose families monopolize a constituency, whatever. And, you know, is there cynicism among young people about the political process actually delivering material change for their lives?
Definitely. I'm not going to deny that there's going to be cynicism. There are cynicism in some group of youth. There probably are, especially in the political climate that we're in. But I also would like to say that this political climate and what happened past few months or years, for instance, recently, it also made youth be able to mobilize even more or to connect with each other even more and mobilize even more. So yes, while there are like small minorities of people who feel cynical, but in fact, I would argue that, you know, the converse actually happened. And we can see that recently, for instance, in the Lawan process or even in social media, like a lot of youth, irrespective of like whichever state they're from, are more aware of issues that are happening. And there are issues that they probably wouldn't be able to know previously, but are highlighted because of how the government works, for instance, when they fail. So I think that is the silver lining of the pandemic. And I think there are more youth who are also pushing for changes in the coming election. Yeah.
Right. Mahira, thank you so much for bringing us this perspective. We appreciate your time. That was Mahira Marzuki of Undi Sabah. We're going to take a quick break, but after this, we'll come back and speak to another youth activist. So stay tuned to Consider This.
amanah di tangan kita. Adat, budaya dan semangat menjadi kesinambungan perpaduan tanah air yang tercinta. Berteraskan adab yang terpahat di jiwa dan raga. Marilah bersama kita membina negara Malaysia.
Thank you so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. We're continuing our discussion on the move to expedite the implementation of Undi 18 and automatic voter registration. Which political forces will be able to mobilize the estimated 5.8 million youth who will be on the roll? Now, joining us on the show now is Emil Malik Chew, who's also known as Victor. He's a representative of PSM, the Socialist Party of Malaysia, also former chairperson of the youth-led collective Misi Solidarity. Victor, good evening. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm just wondering whether there's a gulf between the politically conscious and already organized youth with, say, the masses, with the mass of young people. And my question is whether the politically conscious youth, are they the minority, Victor?
Yes, I would say so, that there very much is a gulf between the politically conscious and the masses of youth that aren't necessarily into politics. But I hesitate to put it into two large groups of those that are educated and already aware and organizing and those that aren't really involved. There's the youth block is a lot more varied than that. And a lot of youth do want to care. It's just that they're not really given many opportunities within the current Malaysian political system to get involved in political organizing or activism for that matter, because everything you see is rooted in, like, most of the movements and political parties are led by men that are over 50 years old, at the very least over 40 years old. There's very little room for the younger generation to get involved, and there's been very little effort from the existing institutions to bother encouraging the younger generation to get involved. More often than not, as we saw the pushback on the 18, when the youth started getting involved, they receive pushback from the older generations, and that makes a lot of people disinterested because they feel disempowered. So why should they care? And that's what a lot of them are feeling. And that's why they're not really getting involved.
Right, Victor, somebody who, I mean, there are a lot of over 50-year-olds in media as well, apparently. I want to ask you this. Seeing how the landscape is going to have to, and political parties are going to have to deal with young people, what do you think is going to be the relationship between youth-led social movements and organizations and political parties that might not be so attractive to these activists, and also the larger group of voters? All they're kind of ready, as it were, to be directed, have issues framed for them, to adopt a new vocabulary, you know, don t-shirts, whatever it is. How will that dynamic operate, do you think, in the future?
I think the single most important front for political parties in general, if they want to really tap into the youth market, would be social media, because that's where all the youth are now. That's where all the discussion's happening. Now, I can't speak for other political parties, but in the case of Pemuda Sosialis, Parti Sosialis Malaysia, we have always been in support of Undi 18, specifically the 18 to 20-year-old bracket, and that's because we believe that the youth just have the most potential to really affect revolutionary change. Because it's the youth that aren't jaded by life yet, haven't been crushed by work and taxes and mortgage and loan payments, and they still have that fire to really get involved. And this doesn't really change much in regards to our political strategy. But what needs to happen is that we really need to tap into that, or political parties in general need to tap into the disempowerment that youth are feeling. Political parties need to speak to the youth and illustrate to them that there's this inner strength that all the youth do possess, and that they just need the right avenue on the opportunities to actually use it.
Right. Can I just ask you about not just youth voters, but youth leaders? So whether you might see political parties make way or make more of a path or, for young upcoming leaders to stand, to take the reins of political parties, then that way there might be more youth representation in our corridors of power.
Seeing the political trends, the trends happening among the establishment political parties, Barisan Nasional and the Pakatan Harapan coalition parties, I don't really see that happening. There are a few standout politicians, and some one has even formed his own political party. But most of the people leading the political parties today and look to be going to be leading the political parties for the foreseeable future are the same people that have been in the corridors of power for the last 20 years since the Reformasi movement started. And I frankly don't see that changing very soon. Will political parties have to adapt to that strategy? Sure. Will they actually follow through on it and beyond performative measures? I can't say for certain.
Yeah, Victor, I mean, I think people are perhaps are putting a lot of on the shoulders of young people in this next upcoming election. And it might take a few electoral cycles to see this, the logic of this new, voting system and the lowering of the voting age actually work itself out. But what do you, as an activist, plan to do in the coming years to mobilize young people? What is it that you want them to, what kind of relationship do you want them to have to the democratic system?
I think a lot of youth, or even older voters in general, take for granted what democracy really means. Undi 18 is just the first step of many in terms of democratizing our country and especially opening up opportunities for the younger people in this country. Democracy is more than just going to a ballot box once every 5 years. And I think that's something that most voters in this country don't really know or understand or care about. So if we really want to mobilize the youth voters, people in general, honestly, we have to show them that they have more power outside of the ballot box. Because let's be honest, the biggest thing that's disempowering youth today, or not the biggest thing, one of the biggest things that are making you very frustrated is that what we saw in GE 14, 2018, was the culmination of 20 years of Reformasi. And that was supposed to be our rebirth for our democracy with the opposition coming to power. And that was all lost in 20 months. So it's going to make a lot of people, myself included, honestly, what's the point of going to the ballot box? It's where political parties and activists, NGOs, need to come in and show the youth, hey, there's more than just dipping your thumb in ink and writing a name on the paper every 5 years. There's still a lot of work to be done in between those 5 years. In the case of Party Socialists, that's things like our worker unionizing campaigns, the contract workers campaign we've been doing, the pressure that we've been putting on the PH state governments regarding their recent environmental projects, which they have backed off on and so forth. That's all stuff that happens outside the ballot box. And that's stuff that is empowering. It's just that a lot of people aren't aware that they can get involved in those kinds of things. And those things are gateways for a healthier democracy. And that's the goal of Undi 18 in general.
Victor, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. That was Victor or Emma Malik Chu of PSM, Party Socialist Malaysia, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. But before we leave you tonight, a reminder that you can get the latest information on COVID-19 vaccines on astroawani.com as well as the Astro Awani app. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching. Good night.